Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's episode of What the Health Just Happened, where we talk about all things healthcare, the good, the bad, the ups, the downs, the lefts, the right, and everything in between. We also bring on a variety of business owners, community leaders, community advocates, nonprofits, etc. Today, I'm excited. Okay, so today's guest is the lead teaching pastor at Legacy House in St. John's, Florida, with over 17 years of ministry experience, author of the new book, No Extra Parts, which I'm certain we'll talk about, a dynamic communicator with a passion to inspire people from all walks of life through God's word, a proud husband and father, my friend. Can I call you my friend?
Yes.
Yes, I can. Clayton Baird, I'm going to call you all day Clay from here on out.
That's perfect, man.
By the way, the intro is the most awkward part. Pulled this stuff from your website.
It.
I think we did okay there. Trey, what do you think?
You did better than last week.
Last week I called the guest by the wrong name. True story. So, nice. Do you prefer Clayton or Clay?
Clay. Yeah, Clay.
I like
great.
Clay too.
Yeah, man.
I also like saying all day Clay. So, people always say don't talk about money, religion, or politics. So let's just talk about all three as
all
much as we
them.
Can,
Love
especially
it.
Religion, baby.
That's what we do.
No, kidding aside, we've become friends, I'd like to think.
Yep.
It's not one-sided, right?
100% friends.
We'll talk about golf. We'll talk about Legacy House, which I'm really excited about. And then the book, which I'm about halfway through. I'm guilty. I wanted to read it before you came on, but I'll read a part through that. So, enough of me talking. Who are you? What do you do? And talk for the next 44 minutes.
Nice. That's all I got. I do that every week on a Sunday morning.
So every Sunday?
Yeah, I can talk for 40 minutes straight.
How long's the service?
Our service is, like hour 15 minutes maybe.
Yeah. That's a good time.
Yeah.
Good amount.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the prep for each week, but let's start with, so Legacy House is based in St. John's County.
Yeah. For anyone familiar with like the greater Jacksonville area, we're down in that new Beach Walk community, 95 and 210 area.
Where that giant fake pool is.
The giant fake lagoon that we are down there. Yep. Yeah, it's awesome space, man. Huge growth
Very
down
cool.
that way. Yeah, awesome.
And then you've not bounced around. You've been in a lot of churches. You travel a ton preaching, but let's focus in on Legacy House. When did it start?
Yeah.
Why you're excited about it? Again, I looked at the website. Yeah. There's two other pastors that are what's their names?
Yeah, so Peter Deering, our executive pastor, and then some people here in the local community might know Kent Justice, who is one of the lead anchors down at Channel 4 here in Jacksonville, and so you'll probably see Kent on your evening news quite frequently.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, man, no, so we've been in the city for 12 years. My wife and I are family. Previously, I was a teaching pastor at another church in the city, but about a year and a half ago, it's been 18 months ago, just felt like it was time to step out, start something new. And for any entrepreneur who's ever started a new business or an organization, even when you start a new church, a lot of those feelings and emotions are all the same. You're kind of like, do I have what it takes?
Fear, excitement, self-doubt.
Is there going to be money? Are people going to show up on a Sunday? You got all of these thoughts. But man, we've been really fortunate. And so 18 months in, man, we're doing great. By church planting standards nationwide, we are doing exceptional, way ahead of the curve, if you will. And so thankful for that, man. Got a lot of good people on the team. And it's just been a great ride. And so at the end of last year, it was our first Christmas service. We had almost 600 people, participate. And so pretty cool, man. So I really don't have a lot to complain about in that regard over the last 18 months. We just feel really fortunate. So
go ahead.
Great. 600's a lot of people.
Yeah.
First service, how many?
Oh, like the first time you did it, you're starting with, there might have been 75, 80 people.
Like the first Sunday service you ever had.
Yeah, we started doing, whenever Bethany and I, my wife, were like, all right, let's do this. Basically, the idea, the formula is you start with like some monthly interest gatherings. Hey, let's just see who's interested. Come along. We'll share some of the vision of what we see for the future. We were doing that at Jack's Beach. So we were meeting in like a coffee shop in Jack's Beach.
Which coffee shop?
You're putting me on the spot. What's the name of it? It's like right next to Beach Church, or Beach Chapel.
Sego
Coffee. Yeah, that's it.
I like giving a shout out to Sego.
So, they were fantastic, dude. Love it. And so we were meeting at Sego like once a month. People were coming along. Like I said, like 75 people would show up. And,
sure. What day of the week was this?
Oh, dude, we would do it like weeknights. I think it was like, just like
This is interesting, right? Yeah. So we talk. Is the show healthcare related? We'll figure something to talk about healthcare.
Yeah.
Probably not. but again, I think business is important, and I am a man of faith.
Yeah.
And I don't talk about it openly often, but today may be the day. So you and Bethany decided like, hey, let's do this. It was just the two of you said, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And you started by reaching out to previous followers from another, like you just reached out to your people and said, hey, meet us here.
Yeah.
And 70 people are showing up to a coffee shop in Jacks Beach.
It was really just through my personal social media stuff. You know, you just put out like, hey, we're going to start a new church, man. If you're interested, if you're looking for a community like that, come along, hear a little bit about it. And started doing it down at Sago Coffee. 75, 80 people show up and do that for a few months. And then we got connected with our friends, Kent Justice, Peter Deering. They were kind of at the same time starting another thing similarly themselves over in the St. John's County area, and they were pretty fresh into their thing. And Peter and I had been friends in the city for a long time. Peter's a musician. He's done different bands around town, all that
what
kind
instrument?
Of stuff.
Oh, trumpet. I saw that from the website.
No, that's Kent.
Kent. Okay. Yes. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Peter's guitar, all that kind of stuff. Been in a bunch of different bands.
I'm so jealous. I wish I could play instrument.
Yeah. And so eventually the conversation was like, yo, you're doing that. I'm doing this. What if we just bring these two things together? We're buds. Let's just build together. Let's do it together. And then we were kind of off and running.
So when they started, was it Legacy House already?
They had already started something under a different name. And then Bethany and I, they were called Common House.
Okay.
We were called Legacy Co.
Oh.
And then when we came together.
There you go. Yeah.
Mind melt right there.
I love it.
So Legacy House, yeah.
And again, a church is a business, right? You have to keep the lights on.
Definitely organizational aspects, yeah.
And again, the priority is, you know, sharing the word and creating other disciples, obviously. But so talk about the name Legacy House.
Like, yeah, so for me, you know, my parents pastored for a lot of years in Charleston, South Carolina. Their church was called Legacy Church. So in a way, the word legacy was a chance of me kind of just continuing what Dad had been a part of for a lot of years.
Continuing the legacy?
Yes, nice. There it is. And so that name kind of meant something personally to me and my family. But, you know, you look at the Bible talks very frequently about, you know, what God does in one generation is not meant to just stay there. It's meant to go to the next generation. There's a legacy that's involved, right? Our children, our children's children. And so it's a scriptural word at the same time. And then house, of course, every church is like such and such church, you know, this church, that church, right? Church is always like in the name. I wanted to do something different. And maybe just try to stand out a little bit. And so, but the word house is also just in the Bible over and over and over again. A lot of Old Testament stuff about the house of God, the house of the Lord. And so that's kind of, you know, where that name came from.
So again, I love these stories, right? So you and Bethany are starting something, and then the other two gentlemen are starting something. You all connect,
yep.
And now St. John's County, it's you're currently meeting at what high school is it?
Yeah, Beachside. It's a brand new high school. It's only like in its second year, Beachside High School. And they had a brand new auditorium that opened up this last August. And there were several other churches that were also interested in this incredible state-of-the-art auditorium.
Nice.
Yeah. And we were just really fortunate enough to get the green light on it. And so it's an awesome space.
Like the hospitality of that school is kind of incredible. I imagine there's employees and you know, residents in the area that are now part of the church.
Definitely.
And there's parking.
which
I know that
huge.
Sounds silly, but that is a huge thing.
That's
you know,
it's
you got parking.
Huge, man. Auditorium seats like 800 people, and it really is a partnership. Obviously, the school is kind enough to let us use that space. Of course, we pay monthly to use it, but we partner by doing stuff. We've already done stuff for their football program, their teacher appreciation stuff. We've done meals for like their superintendent when he has meetings in the county and stuff like that. So we do our best to be good tenants and go over and above.
It sounds like good Christians also.
Yeah, for sure.
So win-win for the community as a whole, regardless if they're not faith-based or
they
are.
Do you envision building or planting somewhere outside of that, or it's still...
100%. We're already having active conversations with influential people in the city who are in the real estate game and market and understand all the land, especially down there in that St. John's County area. And so... That on that 210 area, there's still a lot of opportunity to grow,
insane.
like going towards US 1, and so that's a great spot.
Again, I love Northeast Florida. We really try to keep this show very localized, and some people have been from outside the area, but between Jacksonville and St. John's County, there's so much untapped potential. That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we keep talking about religion?
Absolutely.
Because I got a bunch of fun
whatever
stuff
you
to
want
talk about. Let's switch to the book real quick.
Okay.
So no extra parts. I'm going to hold this up. We'll take lots of pictures of it. Actually, here, you hold it up so I can take a picture while we're sitting here. That's awkward.
There we go.
Jeez, I love the smile. So again, we'll talk about this a bunch. No extra parts. I'm going to read a paragraph in the beginning, but you told me a story. Didn't you say Bethany wanted to write a book and you beat her to the jump?
Yeah, my wife is, she, you know, has her master's in English and literature. She teaches humanities at a university level, all this kind of stuff.
She's smarter than you.
100% smarter than me, yeah. And we both always thought, oh yeah, you'll be the first to write a book. It's your wheelhouse. This is what you do. And but then, you know, COVID kind of came and we kind of found ourselves maybe having a little extra time on our hands. And I was like, man, maybe I'll just use this time to knock out a book. So I started writing, yeah, during like all the COVID stuff. I got a little lazy around the editing and that's what it kind of sat on the shelf for a little while. And but then, yeah, this year released it.
I like to read stuff. I'll try to do this, but I like right off the bat, and I'm not just saying this.
Okay.
I'm not like sitting here blowing smoke. You like, you got a great book. It's awesome. I'm only halfway through. Sorry. I wanted to finish before
you're
we got
good,
here.
Man.
It's really good. Like my mother-in-law, who I typically don't talk about on the show for a variety of reasons. She's like, she read the book in a couple days. Have you ever put together a child's toy? How about a piece of furniture? The box never comes with any extra parts. Every part that's present serves a purpose in achieving the desired outcome. The same is true for every person in the plans of God. There are no extra people, no spare individuals that God is unsure of how to use.
Yeah.
Dude, your parents, tell me, like, have you put together a child's toy? There are, when we say extra parts, there's spares, but I love that. So, like, the concept of the book, were you thinking about this for years? Let's hear it.
Yeah. I mean, I sat down, I you know, writing a book was a bucket list thing for me. I knew I wanted to do it. And I've accomplished it a little sooner than I thought. I'm not even 40 yet, but,
I'm thankful for that. On the front of your number
but,
yet.
No, man, I still got a 3 in the front, but, yeah, man, you know, being a weekly communicator, pastor, teacher, I have tons of content sitting on tons of stuff. And so I was just like, man, let me just go through a lot of my stuff. Let me see if I can find a pattern and a theme that I can use this content to obviously create a book. And I did, obviously the theme being around purpose, people's purpose and God's plan. And so, yeah, I just started writing. And that example that you just read was in a message. I think I did that sermon, that message back in like 2015. I kind of shared an illustration like that. So, you know,
it feels like decades ago.
Almost a decade ago. And so I bring that out as kind of like the opening illustration. And, so yeah, that's kind of where it all started. And so basically every chapter in this book was a individual message that I had preached at some point years ago.
Do you read for fun?
No.
Okay. Trey, do you?
Gosh, no.
Oh jeez. Do you, Justin?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, never mind. Well, then I'm going to change topics. I like to read, again, a lot of them. I don't want to call them self-help books. I do love Ryan Holiday is a great author.
Yeah,
he talks
okay.
about stoicism. But when I read books, what I do is like I'll write pages. I underline it and write pages on the back.
Yeah.
I'm just saying already. It's good. I do laugh at the picture on the back. And we're going to have to hold that up there too. I want you to repost
That's
for that.
That's a good looking guy.
I think it's cool, man. I think it's cool. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, man.
I will admit, too, you have a great message. I've never been to the church. Steph and I talk about it all the time, and we've got to come check it out. But I would recommend, if you are a person of faith, if you're on that, I don't openly talk about my journey in faith. I don't. So maybe it comes out today, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah.
But follow Clayton on, I'm telling you, like, follow him on social media. Go ahead, Trey.
Do you guys do live?
Good.
Do you live stream?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, every Sunday, YouTube channel, Legacy House YouTube channel.
All right.
So,
podcast?
I did years ago, but okay. I've fallen off that wagon. I probably need to pick it back up. So,
fair what enough. Do they say about podcasts?
Everybody has one.
They're like,
I can't say that. You know what? We all got them. They all stink.
locally, you know, Pastor Joby Martin is.
Oh, yeah, 1122.
Like,
yeah.
Probably the most popular, well-known.
Joby's a great teacher. Yeah.
And like I'm telling you, Clay is that good. Like he's
you're a younger version.
You're kind to
hair.
Say that.
I'm
a little less country maybe. Less country.
Yeah. No, you're okay. more surfer. A lot more tattoos.
Yeah, where are you originally from again?
Born in the Midwest, grew up in Charleston, South
okay,
Carolina.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
honestly,
right.
A lot of time. Folly Beach, shout out Folly all the Beach. South Carolina beaches.
I'll be in Isle of Palms in a couple
Come
weeks.
Come on, man. IOP. Let's go.
Folly Beach. I've been there a few
dated
times.
Dated some girls from IOP. We're not going to talk about that on this podcast.
I kind of want to talk about it now. She won't listen. My wife has never listened to an episode, by the way. Help me understand, too. Like, what is a teaching pastor? What's the difference? I don't know.
So basically, like my primary role, obviously I'm leading the church, but my primary role organizationally is obviously content driven, teaching, preaching. And in other words, we have an executive pastor who's handling a lot of the side of the organization, like the business, if you will.
Side,
yeah, just, you know, lease agreements, the financials,
the business side.
All that kind of stuff. And so, which is great, man, because I've known a lot of pastors out there who are trying to do all of it themselves, and that's very difficult because a lot of times the side of your brain that you lean into that's like content, vision, communication, it's different than the side of the brain that does business, numbers, sure. money. And a lot of guys are wearing themselves out. So for me, I'm super thankful for Peter and Kent because they're bringing something different to the table.
That is a great message too. And again, it applies to every business, healthcare, all of it. If you are a visionary, if you're a salesperson, right, you don't want to manage people. If you're like a producer and a salesperson and you're spending your time managing people, it's not going to work out. You are like creating that content, that message. You don't want to manage the books and figure out leases and look at properties. You may be involved in the conversations, but that applies to, I think, everything in life.
Sometimes, you know, like when you're starting an organization, even to every entrepreneur and business owner out there, you know, you got to do what you got to do in the beginning. It's just you.
You got to grind,
right? But as soon as you're able to, you got to staff your weaknesses. You got to bring people around you that are good at what you are not good at. That's only helping the organization. And you got to be okay. A lot of people struggle with that because it's a control issue. They don't want to release the stuff. But ultimately, if you want to achieve bigger and better and you want to grow and be more influential, have a bigger reach, if you will, you got to be willing to let some stuff go and give people a chance to run in their lane.
See, every service, Sundays, an hour to hour and 30 minutes, right?
Right, yep.
How much time are you preaching during that time? So you have music to open up.
Yeah, I mean, right? I'm probably speaking for 30 to 35.
What is the time? I've just been curious, like what time do you spend through the week building that message?
Yeah.
Do you have it planned months in advance, or do you wake up Monday morning and say, hey, I got an idea. I'm going to spend the next 3 days researching certain scripture and create, like, what does that look like to prep?
I plan out, like a lot of churches these days, we're series based. We mm-hmm. like to use the word collection, a collection of messages. And so, so I have like, I'm months ahead as in regards to what our series or collection of messages will be, but individually I am not months ahead. Monday is my content day. I sit down, I study, I write, I do all that on Mondays. And so it takes me, now granted, dude, I've been doing this for, you know,
17 years.
Yeah, 17 years. Says. And I just got a good rhythm going now. And so, you know, I sit down at, you know, whatever, 9 o'clock in the morning and I kind of start, and by about 1 o'clock, I'm wrapped up with everything I need going into that next Sunday.
Which is way shorter than I anticipated. So you're 9 o'clock Monday. Are you a coffee guy?
I don't drink. Me and my wife don't drink coffee.
Wow.
Yeah,
energy drinks?
No.
Good for
not
you.
Really big on caffeine. Oh. And so my last coffee was in 2005.
Whoa. That's awesome.
I didn't drink coffee until 2014.
All right.
And now I can't stop. It's so bad. Maybe it was 13. Doesn't matter. So back to the prep.
Yeah.
9 to 1, you're done. Through the week, do you go back to that? Do you practice the segment? When he holds up this, I love, we're live, by the way. Don't tell anyone. We're not live. When he holds this up, we have 5 minutes left to a commercial break. Yeah.
What was the question?
Sorry. So the prep time, 9 to 1 Monday.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Throughout the week, are you practicing in front of a mirror? Are you saying the
I would say this to anybody who public speaks for a living. And because I have some friends who are pastors and they speak weekly and they're like, yeah, I write my messages on Saturday. And I'm like, you're an idiot.
not healthy.
And the reason being is because, like, in my opinion, you're just not giving it time to like get in you. You're not giving it time. And so what happens is I write on a Monday, I get 6 days to just think about it, stew in it. You know what I mean? Maybe I see something around town. I have a conversation with somebody. It sparks an illustration. It sparks another way that I can make the message like more, you know, just real and helpful for people, practical for people. And so, you know, it just, it gives a week. It's like you're cooking a meal and it gives a week to just let it stew. When you do it super fast the day before, you're just not giving yourself any time.
I'm guilty of that.
Was there a time where maybe the first day you're working on something and maybe a line comes to your mind, you're like, oh, that's a banger. Like, that's the one.
He's got his phone. I text myself stuff all the time. Yeah. I hear stuff from random stuff. I'll see a billboard that'll make me think of something, or I'll just come across a line and
Here's a real question.
That's it.
That's cool. When you see the billboard, do you pull over and text yourself, or do you text yourself while you're driving?
Yeah, I text and drive.
Okay.
Not me.
I love a voice memo myself.
I also like that Justin just said banger. That's just a good word too, by the way.
That's so funny that you say that, because going into this Sunday, it was literally this, what was today's?
We're I don't know right, what whatever day. Remember my family Monday, flew last week.
I finished writing, early afternoon, and my wife was like, hey, how are you feeling about Sunday's message? And I was like, babe, it's a banger. It's a banger.
You know,
she was laughing. I was like, I'm ready. I feel really good about this one.
That's great.
How much time we got left?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay. Dude, again, the time goes so fast. I love it. I think next half we'll still talk more about Legacy House, the books. I think prep time in this and some parts that stand out to you. Maybe you blacked out from the book. You wrote it.
Yeah.
Like when I end this show, I leave and I forget. Like I don't remember what we're talking about. But I do want to talk about parenting.
Yeah.
Right. From obviously our friendship and what we're dealing with.
In our boys almost championship second year in a row.
So this show airs live Saturday night. We will either be flag football champions or not. I don't know yet. You know what? Let's talk about that.
I just want everyone to know these third and fourth grade Broncos are going straight through the championship.
Oh, sorry. Hey, I-9 flag football in Jacksonville. Third and fourth graders, the Broncos.
The Broncos.
We got given that name. We're undefeated. Knock on wood. We're playing for the championship this Saturday. I'm fired up,
dude.
Man.
Our boys do work out there. I'm so proud of them.
It's been fun. It's been fun. I digress. So second half, yes, more about the book. You know, we have to talk about golf.
Yeah, love me some golf.
We had some topics off the air that I thought were great too. Maybe marriage stuff. I think faith in school is like it's a touchy subject that people tiptoe around. I like talking about it. Trey, what else you got before we wrap it up here?
Ooh, gosh, you put me on the spot.
Yeah, I like to do that.
I would like to know about the tattoos, possibly in part two.
Got a few.
When was the last time you got a tattoo?
When my second son was born in 2020. That was the last one.
Are you done getting ink?
Man, if I do anything else, it would just be small. I'm done with like big stuff.
You got a lot.
Last time I was sitting in the chair, I was like, this hurts. Why am I doing this?
So it's funny, like, I'm 41 years old and I still want like a full sleeve, and I'm like, is it past that stage of life? But I don't care. I don't care anymore. I'm there. Like, my wife's not, she loves me.
Yeah.
You know, I got a good job. I can wear long sleeves if I have to.
And what I do for a living, a lot of people were like, oh, that's not, you know, you shouldn't do that. It's gonna set you back. Honestly, it's been actually more of a conversation starter than it has a hindrance.
I think every pastor under the age of 30 is covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
Especially in Jacksonville.
I think it's everywhere.
Yeah, when I was up in Virginia, they all
are. They?
Yeah. I liked it.
Dude, our city is mad tattooed. Everybody.
Mad tattooed. Matty tatties. Jeez.
Everybody.
Nothing like some middle-aged men trying to come up with some trendy terms.
Matty tatties.
Facts.
Facts.
How we doing? I don't even know.
1 minute. Let's wrap it up. Clay Baird, author of No Extra Parts, teaching pastor at Legacy House. My brother from another mother. I like this dude more and more every time I hang out with him. That's What the Health Just Happened. All right, welcome back to the second half of What the Health Just Happened. Oh, man, we're going to laugh into this intro. That's a different story. We'll talk about that. If you missed the first half, you're catching this on the radio. Good news. All of this will be available on your favorite podcast platform. Today, we have a dear friend of mine, Clay Baird. Overall, bad A word? I can't remember if I can say the A word or not. Oh, badass. You can bleep it out if you want. Can we say that in church?
I probably would not say that.
You would
church.
Not say. I'm sorry. Yeah. Dang it, I blew it.
But this is not church.
Good point.
So. Teaching pastor at Legacy House, 17 years in the ministry as a pastor. Great husband, great father, awesome dude. The first half, we talked about your book, No Extra Parts. We'll hit that a little bit more. Of course, Legacy House. We'll talk some more about different churches. I want to do healthy or not healthy.
Okay.
Okay. I haven't even thought about it yet.
I got one.
Go ahead. Okay. So you go first.
Oh, is this a game? What is this?
Oh, it's speed round. So I'll start. Okay. Healthy or not healthy, tattoos.
Sure. Healthy. I don't have a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. It's a speed round. What you got?
That's all I
got
to say is healthy,
healthy or not healthy.
Okay. Healthy for tattoos.
Healthy.
What were you going to say?
Oh, God. Healthy or not healthy, premarital counseling.
Healthy.
So like, yeah.
Yeah. Counseling. Oh, yeah.
This is good. Healthy or not healthy, talking about religion prior to marriage.
Healthy. Very healthy.
Healthy. Yeah. A lot of people don't. Okay.
I just had a conversation with a dude yesterday about that, by the way.
Yeah. Healthy or not healthy, my golf swing. Not healthy, bro. You can say
the day I played you, it was pretty healthy.
I did have the best 9 holes ever. Healthy or not healthy,
that was a great
Coors Light.
It's light, and if you're not getting drunk, it's healthy.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy, starting a new church.
Gosh, it's healthy, but it's not for the faint of heart.
Healthy or not healthy, getting married young.
Ooh. I did it. And I think it can be healthy, but if you're not, if you're not on the same page in life and you haven't done the counseling, then it could be extremely unhealthy.
Okay. Healthy or not healthy, starting a church from scratch?
Healthy? Healthy, yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna ask you one, Trey. Healthy or not healthy, Clay Baird?
Healthy.
Dude, look at this dude, man.
Yeah, do you work out? Like, you play sports and stuff?
Wife and I in the gym, man, multiple days a week. We try our best to stay healthy. Normally I'm just, I go in and hit some weights and stuff like that, but I went into the doctor the other day. The old blood pressure's running a little high, so I got to get on the cardio stuff again.
I take Lisinopril. I naturally have high blood pressure in my family, and I'm not in nearly as good a shape as I was 10 years ago, but for three kids, 41, I'm in the top.
It's for me, it's diet, man. There's a Chick-fil-A near my house, and that number one combo is just the number one. Just always hitting. And so,
you get a milkshake?
No, I don't do the milkshakes, but I'm just fried chicken all the time.
That's it. Yeah. What other food vices do you, like unhealthy foods do you love?
I mean, I haven't had Taco Bell in a long time, but don't tempt me with a good time. You know what I mean? Like
you'll put it down.
We can go crush some chalupas right now.
Like if I had to pick. You get 10 fast food joints. You can pick whatever you want, and it will have no consequence on your body. Like Taco Bell's number one.
Do you remember, guys?
Checkers.
Guys,
Checkers.
Let's just, Checker burgers and those fries.
Fries.
Those fries. Let's all, but for a second,
this
go
is
back
a healthcare
in your mind.
Show talking about healthy topics.
Go
fast
back
food
in your
restaurants.
Mind to freshman year of college when it's like 2 a.m. and you're like, guys, let's go slam some Taco Bell.
Absolutely.
And you would sleep like a baby.
I wouldn't even make it
till the morning.
I wouldn't make it halfway through my meal before. Like I'd fall asleep halfway through. My
Dude,
meal.
There's no way I could do that now.
Not healthy. Not healthy.
Not healthy. Now, not healthy.
Oh my gosh, we're going off the rails. That's good. All right, let me rein it in here. Think of a healthy or not healthy. By the way, I love when guests weeks later they'll text me out of nowhere like healthy or not healthy. Everyone nice, does it. Nice. So the book, which I love. I'll keep talking about it.
Thank
no extra
you.
Parts. Check it out. Also follow him on social media because he puts out some incredible stuff, especially if you're a human of faith. If not, I recommend following me even more. Any parts of the book that jump out to you, like I'm most proud of that chapter or that topic? That's hard to say.
Yeah, no, I actually, for me, it's pretty easy. I think I'm most excited about chapter 6. Chapter 6 is, it just talks about... a holding pattern. And so basically the whole book's in regards to, what is it?
I said I'm on 5.
Oh, okay.
Keep
going. Chapter 6 is my favorite. The book is about purpose, right? It's about us finding an understanding that every human being is created with a purpose, a God-given purpose, right? So there's something specific that God has tailor-made and designed you to do. And so no one is an extra part. In other words, no one's just lying around with no purpose. Like God got bored one day. He's like, let me just make a few extra people. Don't really know what to do with you. I liken it to this. In all of our houses, we all have a junk drawer. It's typically around the kitchen somewhere. No one ever told us to put them in the kitchen, but that's where they always
are.
Right? And what is the junk drawer, right? It's a bunch of junk you didn't want to throw away, but you're not really sure how you're going to use it yet either, so you just throw it in the drawer, right? God does not have a junk drawer.
Ooh,
he doesn't have people where he's like, I made you, not really sure what I want to do with you. Let me just put you in this junk drawer of humanity. No, man, everybody has a purpose, and it's your decision if you want to walk in the purpose and the plan that God has for you. He's not going to force you. You can do whatever you want, right? But it exists. And so the hope of the book is that it helps people realize that, and then it nudges people to want to walk in the purpose that God's given them. But in chapter 6, it talks about holding patterns. So in other words, what do I do if I feel delayed on my path of purpose? And so it kind of speaks to feeling delayed in life. It speaks to feeling like, I feel like I'm behind the eight ball. I feel like I'm too old now. I feel like I missed the boat. I feel like other people are passing me by, right? Comparison is something that everyone deals with. Feeling like everyone's beating you. It's the rat race, right? And so chapter 6 kind of helps with that.
Trey, I've never guessed. I'm like, that better be a clip. When he described the junk drawer,
it's a good one.
That's one of the nuggets. I love that. Have you heard of the spotlight effect?
No. What is it? Sure.
So it's essentially like the spotlight effect. Every human thinks the spotlight is on them, right? Everyone
guilty.
Thinks like
they call that what is that? Main character energy. I think that's. What
there's different
it.
Stuff, and again, there's a. some psychiatrists who talk about it. There's a guy I follow on social media. I love the content he puts out. But all of us think that like everyone else is thinking about us and the spotlight's on us. But in reality, who is every human thinking about?
Themselves.
Themselves.
Yeah.
Like every time I'm nervous about putting something out there, go to shows, like nobody cares.
I actually said that in a message to our church earlier this year. Talking about, man, everyone's so like, oh, what will people think of me? Ain't nobody thinking about
nobody.
You.
If they are, it's a blank,
nobody's
right?
Nobody's thinking about you.
The other term I like, so Dr. Michael Gervais, he just had his second book out. He was a sports psychologist for the Seattle Seahawks when
nice.
They were in their prime. He's a good, I'd recommend reading his books too. Again, none of you guys read, nerd.
I'll read
I'm
a book.
I'm pointing at myself.
Send me a book.
But he talks about FOPO. Instead
okay.
of FOMO, like fear of missing out, have you heard of FOPO?
Fear of
people's opinions.
Yeah,
I love that acronym. That's a big one that I just think people naturally do. And if you, again, I don't care what your religion is. I will openly talk about it now. Like whose opinions matter the most
right.
to me and the people that I care about most?
Yes.
It's my own. Like when I look in the mirror, am I proud of what I see?
Yeah.
And it's God.
Yeah.
And that book, again, some people may cringe when they hear this. I don't care.
Yeah.
That's good. I can't wait to read chapter 6.
Yeah, man.
You want to chime in anything on that? Because that was pretty
well,
that was pretty heavy.
I like how you at least, you touched on God does have a plan for everyone, but they also have the ability to not go with that plan or at least
right.
Because I think that's probably where a lot of people just find themselves lost is they think they're dealt this crappy hand, but in reality it's like, well, maybe that's actually not the case. You're just looking at the situation in a wrong way.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of people actually don't believe that everyone is kind of gifted that plan.
Yeah, I mean, my goal in the book, and a couple chapters will speak to this, is let's just take Eric for instance, right? He's in the marketplace. He's in his business. He's got a lot of things going on. I think there's too many people that feel like, oh, if I want to do something for God, I gotta go work for a church. I gotta go jump into ministry. And nothing can be further from the truth. Let me tell you a quick story. So I was living in Australia for 3 years, early 2000s. There was a guy that I became close with. His name was Ben. Ben was a professional rugby player in Australia. Anyone who understands international sports knows rugby is like the NFL in Australia,
yeah.
right? And so here he's playing for a team in Sydney. Big name. If he goes to the mall, everybody's going to recognize him,
yeah.
right? Like he's a superstar. He has this awesome encounter with God, feels like he wants to turn his life around. He wants to do something great for God. He goes to the pastor of the church that we were part of. He's like, hey, I'm going to get out of rugby. I just want to come up here. I want to serve God at the church. And the pastor looked at him. He's like, Ben, that's the stupidest thing you could ever do. And he was a little shocked at that. That's not the response he was expecting. And the pastor's like, Ben, look, man, you're at the prime of your career. And you've been given an opportunity. You've been given a platform. You will sit in rooms that I, as a pastor, will never sit in. You'll talk to people of influence and authority that I will never speak to. Like, God is not asking you to jump out of rugby to come up here and work at the church.
Yeah.
God wants to use you in rugby to help people and minister to people and speak life into people and be a strong encourager in the locker room, right? Like, and so it's helping people understand you don't got to be a pastor to do something great for God. He has you where he has you because he wants to use you there.
I love that story because my brother-in-law, former pastor, and he had a good run at his church, but then unfortunately things, you know, whatever. But now he manages people, and I swear he's more influential with kind of helping people and messaging them through that now than when he actually ran a church.
Yeah.
And I think now he actually really appreciates that he's been put in that position because he can be more influential than...
That's
even
a
as a
great
pastor.
Story.
Right.
You might have shared that before.
Yeah.
So looking at professional athletes, I feel like I see a changing in the tide, right? I'm not saying Christianity was looked down on, but now maybe it is in news stations and sports stations. But to me, like, the best example I can have is when Damar Hamlin, remember
right,
the guy,
yeah.
cardiac arrest, when you see an entire field on a knee and they're not panning the camera away, and people are actively praying for a miracle or whatever it is, and now athletes talking openly about it. Like, Trevor Lawrence is a great example.
Yeah.
Tim Tebow's a great
Stroud.
Example. C.J. Stroud.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Even though he plays for the Houston Texans.
It's all right, we'll take it.
Good. But, that excites me. That's good news.
C.J. Stroud, that's a great example. I mean, that dude, he's a great communicator. He's very professional in front of people. Like, that dude could get up and preach in a church probably if he wanted to. But nah, bro, how about you go out there, you be a top quarterback in the league, and you use that platform to help people understand who Jesus is.
Yeah. Man, good role models.
Yeah, for
sure,
man.
Let's pivot. We've talked enough about religion. Let's talk about politics now.
Woo.
Okay. I'm not doing that. We can't. It's going to be this year is going to be, I hate politics, by the way.
It's going to be a busy year ahead, no doubt.
It's going to be a nightmare.
I got a question for you in regards to, you guys, you said you're out in St. John's County.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And like, a lot of churches now are very similar, like 1122. They're scooping up old landmarks and then kind of redoing them. Is it actually harder for you guys out there to find an establishment because you might have to actually build versus going and just scooping something up and moving into it?
Yeah. No, I mean, St. John's County, obviously, they ain't giving away land. That's for sure.
Well, yeah.
They were 15, 20 years ago.
Times have changed, baby.
I feel like every other person that comes into our church now is like, yeah, we're from Long Island, you know?
Oh,
it's just a ton of transient people. But
don't New York or Florida.
But no, I don't know if it's tougher. I think tough is different. You know, I think it's... You know, you could be in a side of town that's low income, you know, just stuff like that, where it's maybe a little rougher, tougher area of town, and it's going to have its challenges there.
Sure.
You come into a St. John's County, there's going to be challenges there in regards to trying to grow a church.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot of times in St. John's County, you're going to have middle to upper class families, perhaps busy schedules, busy lives. Their kids are playing sports. They're on road teams.
Golf carts.
And so, yeah.
That's a
good
point.
So to grow a church in St. John's County, you're constantly trying to help people connect, even though their lives are just all over the place, right? You go into the downtown Jacksonville area, it's going to be tough, but the tough is different. It's just a different kind of tough.
That's cool. Never thought of it like that.
So, yeah.
What were we talking about prior to the show? Like,
Marriage, parenting.
Do we want to talk about marriage?
Sure.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
I like, actually...
16 years
The parenting
married.
Part... Well, let's plug one more time. Go Broncos, by the way. Hopefully when this airs on the radio show, we're champs.
We are the champs.
I want to talk about bringing faith into the house, but let's go to marriage, too, because you'd mentioned you got married young, right? How old were you when you got married?
I got married in May, and my 22nd birthday was in June.
And wow. Bethany was how old?
A year behind me.
Okay, and you were a little bit older.
I was 30, 31,
okay.
I think. My wife was like 27.
I was 30, Steph was 20. But again, looking at that, I think how are individuals getting married young, how are they more successful? I think faith is a component in talking about those hard topics. So in the church, are people coming to you asking for marital advice, or what does it look like for young couples?
Yeah, all the time. I mean, yesterday I was having a conversation with a guy talking about, you know, wanting to get married. He and his fiance right now are two different faiths. And so he was coming to me asking questions about like, hey, Clay, do you think this is going to be problematic? And I was like, it definitely has potential to be. And so other people out there, other listeners might think different. Listen, I've been doing this for 17 years and I've seen a lot of couples where that has been a very problematic thing. When it's just the two of you, sometimes it doesn't surface that much because you're like, oh, we love each other and whatever. But when it comes time to raise kids and what are we going to do with these kids and how we're actually going to build our life, sometimes two different faiths can you know be problematic. So,
oh, I mean, so I didn't grow up in the church at all, and my wife did, and it's just interesting because like my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, their families were very similar, both raised in the church, and she's just brought it up like it's not as difficult that I wasn't raised in the church, but there are different kind of like ways that I might look at like how to upbring our kids versus her. And it's not that either of them are wrong, but I do know that someone that wasn't raised in the church and versus her, it definitely makes it harder.
The world, the word that we would use there is worldview. Your worldview is the way you view the world is different. You know, for me and my wife, we view the world through the lens of the Bible. And so someone who's not of our faith is not going to view the world in that regards. And so, and you see it, like this is why, I don't know how deep we want to get but this is why, the way America has looked for the past centuries, it and this is my opinion, again, listeners are welcome to disagree, but it has looked the way it's looked because of Christian founding fathers who brought that religion as the main, of course we're a nation of other religions that are present, but as the main dominant religion, Christianity was doing its thing. The reason the Middle East looks like the Middle East is because there's been a predominantly Muslim faith influence. And so it is my belief that these faith worldviews contribute to what the actual society looks like. And so people might be welcome to disagree with that, and that's fine. But that's why I think what you believe determines. It's going to determine how your cities end up looking, and how society treats one another, and how the culture is built. Like what you believe, it all starts there.
That might might be like some of the deepest stuff we've talked. Which I like.
No,
that.
I mean I agree
this
with all, that.
I'm going to pivot back to marriage in a second too, but I forgot the point I was going to make about the founding fathers, but. Going back to marriage too, right? So if you don't, I'll use Steph and I as an example.
Yeah.
Right. So she went to a private Catholic school. I went to a public school.
Okay.
Before we got married, we didn't talk about religion. We didn't talk about kids. She wanted. I didn't come to realize. She wanted five kids. I wanted two. We were four. Like we've made it through some battles and some journeys, and you know, in and out of churches, like. It's worked out for us, but I can see how people, if you don't talk about these things, especially if you're getting married young, you have to talk about. So if you plan on having children, that's a big one. Are you going to have children? Well, I don't want kids. I want five kids.
What
is
are you
that going to work?
That's going to cause a problem.
If you're a spender, like financially,
money's huge
thing. People don't want to talk about it. How do we not talk about three of the most important topics? But all that being said, I think that topic of conversation, religion is a big one.
The big three, right? In my line of work, here's the big three why people are getting divorced. Big three.
Yeah.
Sex, money, communication. Okay. Those are the big three.
Well, so let's start with sex. You mean like sex prior to marriage?
Sex,
after?
Money, and communication. People are getting divorced because they don't have enough of one of those.
Oh, so, that's good.
So that's pretty much.
It's a good point. You don't have all.
And so no, that but those are the three that come up over and over and over. So yeah.
I'm speechless.
That's
gold. Yeah. But you're right.
For some couples that maybe experimented before marriage, is that a conversation that is actually brought up a lot, or is it actually less of a conversation than you would think? Where like, let's just say one partner maybe was a little bit more outgoing and one was a little bit more reserved. Is that something that's ever a conflict?
Like with intimacy, with sex?
Yes, okay. As partner, is that something that, or is it literally just lack of sex? Probably that's really.
Oh, no, I think everything. I think lack of, I think, I mean, I am a proponent of like, dude, just talk about all these topics. I even if you're not like, I subscribe to faith-based counseling. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor. That's where I'm at. But even if you're not a person of faith, I would love for you to be one, but,
sign up.
But some form of counseling to where you can talk about all these topics, talk about how we're going to raise our kids, all this kind of stuff. Just put it out on the table. And you know, I don't know, man, I think there may be a balance. I'm not perfect and I don't know everything, but, I think to some level, if you want to share about, hey, this has been my history. Cause what you don't want is you don't want to not share about some stuff. And then 10 years into marriage, you're in a fight and you're like, and somebody finds something out about like, you did what in college and you did this. And then all of a sudden now it's this big, huge thing. And maybe if you just would have shared about it.
Or even from a standpoint of just not having the conversation. Like my wife and I, we have a 9-month-old. And so when we were looking at daycare, obviously we looked at some churches that provided daycare. And literally while we're looking at them, I was like, well, do you care if it's a religious daycare? And like, we were like, oh my God, we didn't even think that would be a thing we would have to think of together. And we didn't care, obviously, but
it worked out for you. There's couples that don't. All of a sudden it comes in, it's like, correct. Mm-hmm. And it all goes back. It's so funny. Money, sex, and communication. This is pre-marriage, too. You're talking about the three biggest things for divorce. We could have a 48-minute conversation. I'm at the stage of life now where my friends are starting to get divorced, right?
I've officiated weddings, and they're no longer together.
So one of my best friends, you'll see him after this, the UNF game. I did his wedding, and he got divorced.
Okay.
Well, he just got remarried, and I said, why didn't you let me do your marriage again?
Because
you're 0-1.
Dang it, I lost.
Because it was your fault, Eric.
Again, I love this dude. We got a couple minutes left here. Any shout-outs, anything you want to plug, talk about?
You told me that there was always these like ending questions that you always had.
So I used to ask like if there were – we'll do that. We only got about 2 minutes left. If you look – 1, 3, 5, 10, 20 years in the past, what is some healthy advice you'd give yourself?
Oh,
I think I knew that was one of the questions, so I actually like prepared for that one. I wrote down.
I should ask a different one.
I knew it. I know. No, but honestly, it's a great question. I thought to myself before I walked in, like the advice I would give my younger self is keep your head down and just run your race. Like there's this famous, I don't know what Olympics it was, but there's this famous picture of Michael Phelps in this race, you know, one of a billion that he runs and he swims in. And so here he is, he's swimming and it's like the final, you know, the final whatever. And I think it was a Brazilian guy that was next to him who looked over. And in that split second of looking to see where Michael was, right, he comes in second place, right? Because he wasn't just focused on his own lane. I think I would have told my younger self, yo, dude, just stop comparing yourself to everybody else. Stop seeing who's running ahead of you. Just put your head down. Do what God's called you to do. Give it all you got. Because here's, you know what's funny? Is now almost approaching 40, is there were guys that I thought were ahead of me in the race
that you've lapped
who aren't even in the race anymore.
I can relate to that too.
They're just, they're in. And so here I was so concerned with chasing this guy who's out ahead of me and not even knowing that 15 years later, he's not even going to be in the race.
That's good. This has got to be a quick answer. So 1, 3, 5, 10, 20 years, what's a healthy change you'd like to see in the church?
I think with the way culture is going, I think pastors are just going to have to get real comfortable with just being bold and courageous with what they say. We live in a society where you can find opinions everywhere. Like we can just all open up our phones, go to social media comment sections, and you can see 10 million opinions in a day. We are not hurting for opinions. What we are hurting for is truth. And if we really believe in the Bible, we just got to get used to speaking truth, being bold, not being worried about being canceled or if it offends somebody. Truth be told, the Bible is offensive. When Jesus talked, Jesus offended a lot of people. You're going to have to get over that. And I think as a pastor and for my other brothers out there pastoring, you just got to get comfortable sharing the truth and kind of let the chips fall where they may.
Amen. Clay Baird, I can't remember what it is, Proverbs, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. I like saying thank you for being my iron. You're a good dude. Again, becoming a great friend. Author of No Extra Parts, teaching pastor at Legacy House, Clay Baird. That's what the health just happened.